This idea is throughout your Bible, integrated at the beginning all the way to the end of our Bibles. And so what we have been saying, both on Sundays and in our groups, is that God wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. And I'm excited about so many people that want to grow. I know I've heard great wins and celebration. PK's been telling me about her group. I know our men's group is just fantastic, and men sharing and talking about the areas where they want to grow. And it's just beautiful, because you and I can grow if we are willing. Somebody just say, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to do the work. And I want to take yet another step today, another step. This is the lesson you're going to be working through this coming week and Wednesday. And so you have the seeds book, and I think we have a few of those still available if you want to grab one after the service. But as we take this next step, I want to get in today just a little bit to why some people never grow to their fullest capacity. And I don't say that as criticism. I certainly do not say that as judgment. You may be in this room today saying, you know what, I feel like I've just never gotten there. I seem to go just, you know, spiritually so far, and I just never quite get over the hump. I never quite get beyond this level right here, and there's a reason for that. I want to help you with the reason, because I really believe that so many of us are going to break through in this season, and we're going to go farther than we've ever been before, and we're going to make decisions, and we're going to make commitments. I know that's already happening, and it's beautiful, but I also know the mindset of a person can limit them, because there are mindsets that keep us from receiving what God has, and I really believe it is because we do not understand how God works. We don't understand how God works at a granular level. That's the small details. We don't understand how God works at a macro level, which is the large things. It's the big picture. It's the small picture. And God is in both of those. God is in the smallest details, and He's in the 100,000 foot view of your life. The Bible tells us that His eye is on the sparrow. The Bible tells us that the hairs of our head are numbered. He knows that number 12 fell out today. It's not just how many we have in totality. He has the hairs of our head numbered. So 12 of 22 fell out today, because we down to just a few. And still, the whole world is in His hand. He's into the smallest detail, and yet He's keeping all of this alive and happening and turning and flowing. It's incredible. So when you look at the idea of seeds is talking about who God is and what God does. But what we miss is the part that we play in the process. And I know this has been eye-opening, because we talked about this last Sunday, and we talked about this in our groups this last week, and we're going to keep saying it week after week. We play a part in the process. And you say, that's where you're getting me, Pastor Darrell, because I've just been waiting on the Lord. I mean, it's His decision. He'll decide whether or not He wants to bless me or how He wants to work in my life, and so I'm just waiting on the Lord. And I asked you the question week one: are you waiting on God, or is God waiting on you? And so the big takeaway in this series, the big idea, is how do we participate with God in our growth? How do we participate? What part do we play? How do we get involved in all that God is wanting to do? I think about big and fast, because that's how we want it. We have big dreams, and we want big blessings, and we look for big opportunities, and we want big breakthrough, and we want a big difference to be made, and we want all of that done fast. We want all of that to happen right now, as big as God will let it be, and happen just as fast as possible. We love big and fast with very little process allowed. We like big. Anybody ever been to a Buc-ee's? Ever been to a 7-Eleven and gotten a big gulp? You can use that thing for a hot tub when you're done with your drink. We like big things. We biggie size meals, and we love big. The truth is we focus on bigger as a sign of progress. Somehow in our minds, bigger is always better. Bigger equates to success. Bigger is more valuable. But don't miss this. Our focus on big causes us to overvalue big and undervalue small. And I'm going to unpack that some today, and I think that's going to become clear to you, and you'll understand, have a grasp on why this is important. It's important because this mindset of big and fast causes us to miss out on how God wants to work in our lives most of the time. Because God's work is often slow, and it almost always starts small. I know the stories that get told from pulpits on Sundays to build our... It's the instantaneous miracles. It's the blind eyes that get opened all in a split second. And that gets our faith. And what is missed is that God works slow, and he starts small, and the moves are incremental, and the blessings are just day by day by day. And you know this to be true, because when it comes to spiritual growth, when it comes to growth in our relationships, when it comes to growth in our finances, or maybe a dream that you have, each of those things will almost always start with small steps. You can't save $1,000 overnight. You got to do it $10 and $20 at a time. It may take you a few months. It may take you a little while. You may get to the end of the year and say, wow, I've got $995. Let me find a $5 bill so I can hit. It took me a year to save $1,000. It's small. It's small steps. It's just a little here and a little there. And when we understand that, then we understand that small seeds planted in good soil can produce a mighty harvest. And that's what we're doing. We're taking small seeds, and we're making sure that our soil is right, and we're planting that soil, and then we're watering that soil with worship and with good discipline, and we're tending that ground and making sure that the rocks are out of it, and the thorns have been cleared from it, so that the seed we plant can become the harvest that we need in our lives. And what we're going to see today in these passages is that with Jesus, everything in the kingdom starts small. I'm here to champion small today. I'm here to tell you that the little bit that's happening in your life is enough for right now. and that God is up to something. And if you'll just keep building on the little, if you'll just keep building on the day by day, if you'll just keep building blessing upon blessing, you're going to look back over your shoulder in a few months and say, man, look how far I've come. Look how much God has done in my life. Look at the ways that he has worked and how powerful and how wonderful he has been. We don't want to miss this truth, because if we miss this, we get frustrated with the pace of our progress. Intentional pause. Because some of you are there right now. You're frustrated with the pace of your progress. We get frustrated with small steps. We get frustrated with the incremental growth. And just being consistent over time. If we only focus on big and fast, then we miss the small and the slow. And when we miss the small, we miss how God works in our lives. And if we're not careful, we will dismiss what God is up to because it does not look as big as we want it to be, and it doesn't show up as quickly as we think it should have. I say again, you can't microwave spiritual maturity. Big dreams are built with small steps. So we're going to go back to Matthew 13. We've been there. We were there last Sunday, and this chapter that is full of these parables that Jesus is using to teach us how really his teachings works. He's giving them his concept. This is how my kingdom works. This is how I'm going to work, not only in the earth, it's how I'm going to work in your lives. And you may be saying, hey, I missed that. I haven't been to Matthew 13. Go to YouTube. Get caught up. Spend some time this week catching up on the word. I promise you it will it'll bless your life and it'll make a difference. And try to get here each of these Sundays. If you're online, try to get into the room because, man, it's been powerful and awesome in this house. And Matthew 13, 31 and 32, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Don't miss that. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. A man takes that seed and plants it in his field. Jesus speaking, though it is the smallest of seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree. Birds come and perch on its branches. So the understanding is that the mustard seed is a type of faith. Jesus is going to use it to explain faith. And if you have faith as the grain of mustard seed, you say, what is faith? Faith is trust in God. Faith is the belief in God. That God is who he says he is, and that God can do what he says he can do. And notice this. He says the kingdom of heaven is like. He is using a metaphor. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. This metaphor, it's the smallest thing they have, this mustard seed. They don't have microbiology, they don't have microscopes, they can't see the things that you and I have knowledge of today. And so he picks up the smallest thing that they have, this mustard seed that is so small. If it was on the tip of my finger, you would not even be able to see it from where you are sitting. It is so small, so small. And he said, a man takes that very small seed. He takes it and he plants it. He takes it and plants it because we play a part in the process. We have a part in the process of growth and spiritual renewal in our lives. The man takes it and plants it. It's important because if you have a seed and you handle it loosely, if you carry it not carefully, sorry, I'm trying to clear and talk at the same time, and if you have this seed, if you handle it loosely, if you handle it carelessly, if you take that seed, we've been talking about these sunflower seeds, but if I, this packet is handy, but if I just have one of these by itself, I'm just going to drop that in my pocket and I'll grab it later, you know. I'm sure I won't forget that. If we handle the seed carelessly or if we just randomly throw it out onto the soil like we talked about last week, Jesus said there's a bird that's going to come and take your seed. If you don't plant it, if you don't tend to it, then the enemy is going to come and he will steal it. This is why the soil matters. We've got the path, the hard soil. We've got the rocky that has the shallow dirt. We've got the thorny or the distracted soil that we talked about. The soil is our responsibility. We got to till the ground. We've got to work the soil because we're going to plant the seed. And in time, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen quickly. But in time, the seed is going to become a tree that birds will perch on. He warned us that if we didn't treat the seed, handle the seed, plant the seed correctly, that the birds would come and steal the seed. But he said, if you do this right, the birds are gonna come and land on the harvest, on the tree that grows as a result of your planting and your watering and your tending. That's powerful to me. The Lord wants your life, just a seed right now, to grow strong enough to hold the things that at one time could have carried you away. Some of you are going to be able to handle things that normally would have taken you out. Some of you are going to be able to withstand pressure that 6 months ago would have gotten the best of you. Handle news that would have sent you to a dark room of depression for a week. Don't talk to me. I don't want to eat. I don't want to just leave me alone. So overcome. So down. Overwhelmed. And now that news comes. It's like, oh, my God's got that. That's all right. That's not a problem. That's just a bump in the road. That's just a blip. That's not a big thing in my life. I don't know about you, but that's a good time to give God praise for what he's doing in our lives. But I want to move to Matthew 17 because Matthew 17 is powerful and it's yet another parable that Jesus is teaching, and he's going to apply in Matthew 17 the principle of this seed thing to real life. Let me give you just a little context to Matthew 17. Jesus takes a few of his disciples and they go up on top of a mountain. This mountain is known to you and I as the Mount of Transfiguration. This is just 6 days after Jesus tells them that he is going to die. And to be honest, they are a little bit emotional. Their faith is dinged up. They're not quite sure what's happening. These are men who left career and left, you know, so much to follow Jesus. And it's been a rocky road. It's been a challenging process to become disciples. And just when they are getting comfortable, just when they are understanding who they are and the role that Jesus wants them to play. Now Jesus is telling them that he is going to go away, and here they are on this mountain, and Jesus is saying, look, I want to share this with you. I want you to know that there's powerful days ahead and there's amazing things that's going to happen in your lives. He is transfigured on that mountain. They see him in a glorified body. This is a wow moment for them, and they start saying, hey, Lord, let's stay on top of the mountain. Let's build huts here. Let's build temples here. Let's just stay right here, because this is what we've been, this is what we signed up for. We signed up for the mountaintop. We signed up for breakthrough. We signed up for this big anointing stuff, and this is amazing. Let's stay here. And you and I, we understand the mountain moments. They're amazing. Why can't life be this good all the time? The truth is, nothing much survives high atop the mountain. You got to come back down, because there is an ebb and flow to life. There are ups and there are downs. There's a mix of good and bad. There's a mix in this room. There's people in this room that are up. Man, everything's working. Money's, the money's flowing. Everybody's getting along in your house. And I mean, we're just in a season, and worship just comes easy. Thank you, Lord. And there's somebody sitting right behind you, maybe right in front of you, maybe on the other side of the room, that the money is tighter than it's ever been. And the relationship is struggling worse than it ever has. And everything feels like it is falling apart, and they're struggling to worship. They're struggling to lift their hands in the moment, because life is a mix. It rains on the just and the unjust. It happens time and chance. It happens to all of us, and we understand that the mountain is not wasted, and neither is the valley, because these disciples are going to go back down. And they're going to practice in the valley what they gained in the mountain, because that's real life. You're going to get something here on Sunday, but you're going to have to go practice it in real life this week. You're going to receive something today. There's going to be an impartation of anointing and strength and an infusing of God's presence. And then come about Tuesday, there's going to be a challenge. There's going to be some news. There's going to be that coworker that, you know, they just get on your nerves. And they're going to get on your nerves. And then I'm going to have to put into practice what I got on the mountaintop. I'm going to have to put that into practice in my life. You see, faith is always revealed in valleys. Your wounds are meant to make you wise. Your scars tell a story. Thank God for my mountain and for my valley. So that's the context of Matthew 17. They see him glorified. They see this transfiguration on the mountain. It's amazing. Let's stay here forever. He said, no, we got to go back down, because stuff is happening down in the valley. And they come down to a very challenging situation. They just saw Jesus glorified, but look at Matthew 17, beginning at verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Uh-oh. Jesus replies in verse 17, you unbelieving and perverse generation. He's not talking to the man or his son. He's talking to his disciples. This man is in trouble. This man has a crisis in his life. This man has an issue. He came to you for counsel. He came to you for advice. He came to you for help. He came to you believing for a miracle, and you could not help him, you unbelieving and perverse generation. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me, Jesus. Verse 18, rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Now, in all fairness, I'm pretty sure Jesus was talking to the other disciples, the one who had not just seen him transfigured on the mountain. But yet, this is going to be a turning point for all of the disciples, because he's using a real life story, a real life situation to show how he works and how faith works in our lives. And it's amazing. Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private. Please don't embarrass us, Lord. But they asked him, why couldn't we drive the demon out? We're not sure what's happening. We just know we laid hands and nothing happened. We just know we spoke declaratively and nothing moved. Why did that happen? Here it is, verse 20. Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. I'm just going to go out on a limb here today. I'm going to risk it all. When Jesus says that nothing will be impossible, I believe he means nothing will be impossible. Is this teaching helping anybody today? We just working. We're working our ground right now. If you just have, you've got this little faith, and I'm trying to tell you, if you have faith as small as a, so their faith was even as small, non-existent, and he's saying, hey, remember the mustard seed I told you about? If you have faith just the size of a mustard seed, I feel like everybody in this room has at least that much faith. How do you know? Because you came to church. Phone woke you up at 4:45 this morning, telling you to get in the basement, get in the bathroom. Somebody slept an hour in a bathtub last night, and you still came to church. That's faith. That's faith. You came believing something was going to happen. You came anticipating something was going to move. Something was going to happen in your life. And so in these verses, we have small and we have big. We have their small faith, and it's connected to the biggest mountain they have ever seen. You see, you and I have to stop despising the small beginnings in our lives. We're growing. We're becoming. I had enough faith to get to church today. I may not know about my faith for the next 30 days, but I've got faith for the next 30 minutes. I'm struggling with a big decision that's got to happen in a few weeks. I don't know about that, but I believe right now. And when you say, Lord, if I've got this right now, I'm going to pray about this and believe you for this, because nothing is going to be impossible. You say, Pastor Darrell, I'm just honest enough to tell you, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know that I believe that nothing is impossible. And that's why Jesus was frustrated with them. And it may be why he's a little frustrated with us too. Because we won't do the small in order to see the big. I've got to be willing. If you're taking notes today, write it down. I've got to be willing to do the small in order to see the big. I've got to be willing to do the small. I've got to be willing to give and be faithful when I've got little. I got to worship even when there's crisis and chaos and turmoil. I got to plant the seed in good soil and stay faithful. with it. I got to work the ground, because our growth will only be as good as our source. If your goal today is only to stay out of hell, it's not going to be enough. If you're only interested in Sunday faith or occasional faith or what I call get out of jail faith, because you know everybody's got faith in jail. Everybody, they singing loud like Paul and Silas, believing doors are going to open and chains are going to break. But I need that day-to-day faith. And if I'm willing to start small. So how does faith work like a seed when we consider the seed? The first thing, faith always starts with God, not you or me. It's important. Because faithfulness is God's nature. It's just who He is. He is faithful. This isn't willpower. This isn't emotion. This is about how you see God. A.W. Tozer, that great theologian, said, "What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you." What you think about when you think about God is the most important thing about you. What do you think about when you think about God? Where did you get those ideas? Who taught you that? We all have ideas. The question is, are they right ideas? Are my thoughts about God right? Maybe you had a parent, an authority figure in your life that said, "You're wasting your time to go to church. Nothing to all that." And every time you walk through the doors, you think, "I wonder if I'm wasting my time. I wonder if there's anything to this." What do you think about God? I don't have time to teach this, but it's the idea of the disciples following Jesus versus them being followers of Jesus. Because that didn't happen overnight. Jesus looked at some of them and said, hey, why don't you put those nets down? Why don't you come and follow me? I see you catching fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Come on. And they're like, me? Oh, okay. And so they start walking with him. They don't know him. They don't know who he is. But eventually, those same ones that just followed him because he was doing really cool miracles, all of a sudden something switched and matured and grew. Something was planted and sprouted. Now it's a full-blown tree that they're saying, "I'll die for him because I'm a follower of him. I don't just follow him because of what he does. I follow him because of who he is. And if he never does anything else for me, he's done enough for me. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. Pastor Dale, I'm not there yet. I know. That's why we're all taking steps every Sunday, every small group. That's why we're all just growing in our faith. Because faith starts with God, not you or me. Secondly, let me tell you this. His word is reliable. I can't overstate this. Can't overstate how big this is. You're going to see the attack on the validity of God's word increase as time keeps moving, but it's already happening. Some of the biggest names in churchdom question the validity of the word of God. But the Bible still says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word is forever. It's forever. It's forever. PK is passionate about putting scripture into our babies and church kids. Why? Because if this word gets hidden in their hearts, if it gets hidden in our hearts, we might build something that is lasting. You say, Pastor, I only know one verse. I only know one verse. It's a short one. Great. Great. That's a seed. Plant that in your heart. Water that, cultivate that, keep bitterness away from that. Keep questioning and deconstruction and people's complaints and keep it away from that one verse and let it grow. Because according to Jesus, you can move a mountain with one seed. What does that look like in 2025 language? You can break an addiction with one seed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Man, y'all are a smart people. That's how faith grows in my life. His word is reliable. Here's the third thing. It's about his timing. It's about his timing, which means it may take longer. Patience is my responsibility. I'm gonna give you some good advice. You work on patience yourself. Don't ask the Lord to teach you patience. Just life hack. Don't ask the Lord to teach. Lord, I got this. I'm going to work on this. It's about his timing. Pastor, we see your strong faith. Hey, I am 52 years in the making. This didn't happen overnight. Hell and high water. Mountains and valleys. Triumph and trial. When you take quitting off the table, you'll see something turn in your life. Ooh, I feel God in this room. When you take quitting off the table, when you decide in your mind and your heart, there is nothing, Lord, that can knock me out of your church. Nothing that can cause me to quit. I've told so many of you, you're gonna think I'm telling your business. I've told every one of you, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how weak you feel, no matter how overwhelmed you are, keep coming to church. I don't care if you come in Saturday night's clothes, smelling like Saturday night's business. Keep coming to church. Because when you take quitting off the table, every time hell starts plotting who we're going to take out next, they're over there saying, well, we might as well leave him alone because he ain't going to quit. Hey, I got a good idea for her. You're wasting your time. You might as well spend that on somebody else because she won't give up. Seems they planted a seed in February. And every Sunday they water. And every Sunday they worship. And every Sunday they throw their head back. And they praise him in spite of their circumstances. And they worship in spite of their trouble. And they acknowledge God in all of their ways. And they come honest and they come broken. And they come bent over and they come struggling. But they come, and the Lord blesses them, pours out his spirit on them, moves on their behalf. And you and I, the devil, we just wasting our time if we keep messing with them. There's no fruitfulness without faithfulness. Here's the last one. Our response is to believe and act. To hear this word today and do something with it. To believe and act. So it's yes to faith, but it's also yes to action. There's a God part of this and a you part of this. A God part of this and a me part of this. Faith is an internal conviction that creates external action, behaviors, and decisions. What starts on the inside works its way to the outside into the practical matters of my life. Paul said it this way. Paul said, we are saved, or by faith we are saved. Through faith we are saved. Then James comes along, James, the half-brother of Jesus, comes along and says, faith without works is dead. Seems like those two things are contradictory, but they're not. Paul is talking about the inner work of our salvation. And James is saying that inner work is going to produce some outward action. Because our response is to believe and act. Somebody today has decided to be baptized. That is an action for what is happening on the inside. Maybe somebody else that wants to be baptized today. You're ready to make a move. If that's you, our team is right in this hallway to my right. If you're ready to be baptized, it's time. Go get prepared. If you want to join them, I promise you they'll meet you right there outside this door and get you set up and get you ready. Love to baptize you today. Action. What is God doing in my life? How is God working in my life? He may call you today to do something. I believe. I've been coming to this church for a few weeks, and I believe. All right. That's something. What are you going to do? How is this going to change your life? Father, I pray today. I pray today, Lord, for every heart in this house. every mind and every spirit. Lord, the way you're speaking to us, we're teaching today, we're working this ground, we're preparing the soil of our lives, and we're planting the seed of faith today. Seed of faith. I pray today, Lord, for people that are making a decision, a spiritual decision about their eternity. A decision about where they will spend that eternity. Only two options. It's with you or without you. Without you is pain and misery, damnation, torment. With you is peace forevermore. I want to be with you. So today, Lord, I repent of my sin. I turn from every wicked way. I ask you to heal the broken places of my life. Heal the thing that's kept me away for too long. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I knew it as a kid. I lived it as a teen, but then that thing happened and not been back. Restore, renew, revive, cleanse my heart, change me in Jesus' name. Can we just give the Lord praise today for